Hello and welcome to Camp Kaiju Monster Movie Reviews. We're your hosts, Vincent Hannum.
And Matt Levine.
And we're talking about all our favorite monster movies, the good, the bad, and the downright campy, and asking if they stand the test of time. Traditional kaiju creature features, space invaders, the supernatural, and everything in between. All strange beasts, welcome here. Camp Kaiju is sponsored by Zach Linder and the Zach Pack, powered by Coldwell Banker Realty. Your source for real estate, home rehab, fixing and flipping for investor clients and residential buyers. Reach out to the Zach Pack today for real estate services. Follow the Zach Pack on social media and contact the Zach Pack for investment opportunities. Links in the bio. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Vincent. How's it going?
Good. Happy November.
Yes. I'm sad that Halloween is behind us, my favorite holiday of the year, but also happy that winter is pretty much here. I've been looking forward to it.
So for those of you who don't live in Minnesota or the Twin Cities, we, Matt and I, woke up to snow on Halloween morning. And I'm a transplant to this state, and that is the earliest I've ever seen snow since I've been here. That's 9 years. I was like, wow, this is not just like some flurries. It's a full-coated snowfall.
Yeah, it was a little bit earlier than usual. I feel like maybe I've seen a September snowfall once or twice, maybe. I'm from Wisconsin, so you know, wintry falls, if that makes sense, have been my entire life pretty much. Although I lived in Atlanta for a couple of years, but anyway, I'm always like so excited for like the snow to fall and like cool temperatures to encroach upon our environment. So yeah, it's you know, I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Me too. For my Halloween, we've lived in our house for 4 Halloweens now, and we had our first trick-or-treaters this year. And it was the most exciting thing in the world. And we only had 3 of them the entirety of the night. But each one was like, oh, here, candy, take it, take it. We're so grateful for your presence.
It's so cute to see the trick-or-treaters. That's like one of the best parts, like in addition to like horror movie marathons, just like watching all the trick-or-treaters. We eat kind of a lot in my neighborhood in St. Paul. So that was really fun to see. We do have a lot of candy left over, which is like a good and a bad thing. It's terrible for my health, but it's so cool to see all the kids like, you know, excited about their costumes and like telling you what they're going as and everything. It's pretty cool. It's fun.
Oh yeah. What Halloween movies did you watch?
Oh, what did we watch? On Halloween itself, we watched 2 movies. Murders in the Rue Morgue from 1932.
Oh, nice.
The adaptation of the Poe story, which was pretty good. It's like a good pre-code horror movie, kind of grisly and shocking. Also a little offensive in the way that many movies from the early 1930s are.
Is that Bela Lugosi?
Yes, he is in that. Yeah, there's like one murder scene that is pretty shocking, and like some other ones were cut out of the movie before it was released. But yeah, Bela Lugosi's great.
Cool.
It's fresh off of the success of Dracula.
Yeah, it's been high on my list for a while, so no spoilers.
Yeah, no. It is. Yeah, I think you'll like it. It's very beautiful. It's like it has amazing sets. It's like exactly what you want out of like an early 30s horror movie from Hollywood. The second movie that we watched that night was When a Stranger Calls, which is good. It's, you know, it has that famous line, which has influenced a lot of other horror movies since then. The calls are coming from inside the house. It's from that movie. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that scene is the best part of the movie by far. And then after that, it gets a little bit not as good, but it's still definitely worth watching for sure.
All right. All right. I watched, Ellen and I watched the new Kenneth Branagh Agatha Christie film, A Haunting in Venice.
What'd you think?
Solid. It was better than Death on the Nile, which is the previous one. And I mean, I like that genre, plot, like murder mysteries. But then this one is I think a really effective ghost story as well. So Yeah, I'd check it out.
Cool. Yeah, I'm intrigued. It has a good cast, right? Michelle Yeoh is in it. Tina Fey, is she in it as well? Kind of surprisingly. Yeah.
Classic ensemble cast.
Cool. I have not seen any of those Branagh like Hercule Poirot movies recently, but I do. I would like to. So maybe I'll check them out soon.
Yeah, they're solid. And then we watched an episode of The X-Files because we started that a few weeks ago.
My favorite TV show.
It's so good.
I grew up with the X-Files, and I honestly think that's probably why I like horror so much. I was like traumatized by some episodes when I was a kid.
I was traumatized just from listening to it. I never watched it because now we're both in our 30s, but I'm in my early 30s, and when it was on network television, I was too young to watch it. But I remember my parents watching it, and I was just in my bed, just like freaking out over the sound of the opening song.
Yeah.
And just like that alone gave me nightmares, man.
It's classic. It's it's so eerie. It's like, it's like on a level with the Twilight Zone where like as soon as you hear it, you have like an image of like eerie, foreboding,
Oh,
otherworldly things
yeah.
taking place,
Yeah. It's
Which
good.
episode? Oh, sorry, I was gonna ask which episode you watched recently.
The Jersey Devil, season
Okay.
one, episode four, something like
Not a very good episode, but
that. You know, it's not, but I'm such a Jersey Devil nut, like with cryptozoology, that I'm like, I like this, but arguably it is a less thrilling or evocative episode so far.
yeah. But the first season is cool because even the bad episodes are like cheesy in like an early 90s way. They're very fun to watch, so. You must have recently seen the Eugene Victor Toombs episode, right?
That one's so good.
One of the best ever. Like, and there are two episodes featuring him in the first season, and they're both fantastic. So you have
Oh
the second
man.
one to look forward to.
Oh man. Yeah, that was a scary episode. Legitimately scary.
Yeah. And it's like the first Monster of the Week episode where they're like getting away from the alien plot lines, and like it's just like a monster, like a really creepy, gory, like disgusting monster. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that on the podcast.
I would be happy to do an X-Files, like,
There are movies, right?
Yeah, the movies are not quite as good as the show, I wouldn't say for the most part, but I would like to rewatch them, so maybe we should.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. Let's
We're
bring
getting
it back
off
down
topic.
to earth here.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a flying, fire-breathing turtle monster.
A dash of realism.
Yeah, but before we do that, we just have to thank you all out there listening to our little podcast here. We appreciate you sincerely. We appreciate our patrons. Well, Matt, what else is coming up?
Our next episode of Camp Kaiju is a really great Joe Dante movie called The Howling. It's my favorite werewolf movie of all time. It's great. It's early in his career. It's between Piranha and Gremlins. I think it came out in 1981, if I remember right. We'll be talking about that on the next episode. Make sure that you check out our website, campkaijumoviereviews.com. Not only will we have links to the podcast and all of its episodes, but we'll also have a couple additional reviews on there. We'll go a little bit more in depth about some of these movies, so make sure you check that out. What else do we have going on? We'll probably be going on a little bit of a hiatus after that, after the Howling episode, but stay tuned. We may come back at some point.
Yes.
Cliffhanger. The future is uncertain. We'll see how long the hiatus lasts. I know it might, might last a while, and that's totally fine. But I hope we'll come back at least for like special episodes every once in a while,
Yeah, me too. So, what's coming up in like the general monster kaiju film verse? The newest Godzilla film is dropping in Japan on November 3rd. So, by the time, so tomorrow, as of this recording. Godzilla Minus One. So it's our first Japanese produced Godzilla film since Shin Godzilla. So I'd love to do an episode on that when it hits American theaters next month. We'll see if we can find a time to maybe check it out.
That would be great. That's a really good name too, Godzilla Minus One. I hadn't heard that name before.
I forget exactly what it alludes to, but it's like 0 hour, but minus one, so it's like even before the beginning.
Whoa.
As I think the film takes place right after World War II in Japan.
That sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, it looks awesome. So the teaser trailers that are out right now look really impressive.
And so, isn't there like a new Planet of the Apes movie coming out as well? I forget what it's called, but I think that's
Oh,
coming out soon.
maybe next year.
Okay. I have actually not seen any of the new Planet of the Apes movies, but I've been wanting to for a long time. So
Same.
maybe this will be, yeah, perfect opportunity.
Yeah, we can like look at the calendar and maybe with listener input, we can just circle the new releases. Maybe we just like want to do a year of covering new releases.
I love that idea. That's great. N
Yeah.
new releases and X-Files episodes. What a perfect
Yeah.
combination.
Great.
I wanted to ask you too. So your play was playing at the Twin Cities Horror Festival recently, and it just wrapped up this past weekend. But I wanted to ask you how the last performances went.
Oh, great. We had a sold out house last Saturday, and it was just such a joy to bring such a that kind of story to life, because you don't see monster plays, right? So like the chance to even do that, one in a million. So yeah, hope to do it again sometime. Proud of the cast, happy with the results. I'm still trying to figure out how to write a play featuring a giant monster, like a Gamera-sized kaiju.
That would be tough.
Yeah. I don't know. For years, I've been racking my brain around that one.
Yeah. You could do cool things with this set, maybe, where, like, you gradually see the monster, like, approach in the set in the distance or whatever. And, like, maybe there's, like, some set changes throughout the play. But that's not quite the same as, like, an actual giant monster. So I don't know. We'll have to think about that.
Well, this is wild. If you think about how like traditional kaiju films are shot on a soundstage with a miniature set with the suitmation, I mean, essentially those actors are there acting amidst this set of miniature buildings and cars and things like that.
Yeah.
So I could just do that, but in front of a paying audience.
That sounds amazing. I would definitely pay to see that. That sounds so cool. Well, I'll be the first in line when your Gamera play. I assume it's going to be a Gamera play. When it's staged for the first time, I'll be there.
It'll have to be like a knockoff, though, like close to Gamera, but not quite Gamera.
Yeah. Like a frog, a giant frog maybe, who's a friend to all children. It'd be great.
Sorry, the image of a giant frog, and it's just like deadpan frog. It has no emotion. It's just maybe it eats a child every once in a while, not because it's, an evil frog. It's just, kind of a brainless animal.
Yeah. It's biological. It has no choice.
Okay. All right. So, Gamera, the guardian of the universe. It's a highlight of the kaiju genre, but maybe some of us haven't seen it yet. I know I'm a newcomer to this film. Matt, what is your personal history with this film?
I was a newcomer to it as well. I didn't really know what to expect, but I've really liked the couple Gamera movies that I've seen so far, which are just the first one, which is called Gamera the Giant Monster from 1965. That one's really great. I like it a lot. It's very beautiful. It is like the whole like Gamera is a friend to kids thing is kind of cheesy, but in a very charming way. So I like that about the original one. And then we covered Gamera versus Gauss earlier on the podcast, and I like that one a lot as well. But yeah, I had never seen any of the Gamera movies from the 90s or beyond. And yeah, it holds up. It's very fun.
Yeah, and I saw this movie for the first time just a couple of years ago when I went through my Gamera deep dive, and I received a pretty great Blu-ray collection of the four Heisei entries of the franchise, packed with bonus features and behind the scenes interviews, some really, really great source material. But I was immediately taken with the film. I think after watching so many so bad at good movies, it's nice to like watch a good movie. And in addition, the original Gamera series, apart from, I'd say, Gauss, the first one, maybe a couple of others, there's just a lot of junk in that initial series. So we'll get more into that later, why there was such a large gap between the Showa era and the Heisei era. So yeah, I think we could talk, we can run through this synopsis rather briskly.
Sure.
Okay, here we go. A ship carrying plutonium collides with a floating atoll off the eastern coast of the Philippines, one of many incidents occurring throughout the area. A team of scientists led by Naoya Kusanagi discovers amulets and a stone slab covered in ancient runes on the atoll. During the investigation, the atoll suddenly quakes, destroying the slab and throwing the scientists into the ocean. One member of the team, the Japanese Coast Guard officer Yoshinari Yonemori, sees the eye and tusk of a giant turtle.
Meanwhile, ornithologist Mayumi Nagamine investigates a village in the Goto archipelago reportedly attacked by a giant bird. While Nagamine is initially skeptical of the claims, she is horrified upon discovering human remains in a giant bird pellet. Exploring the nearby forest, her team encounters and then successfully prevents three bird-like creatures from attacking another village. To prevent further attacks, Nagamine agrees to aid the government in capturing the giant birds. The creatures are lured to the Fukuoka Dome baseball stadium, where two of the three are successfully captured. The last one escapes to the harbor, where it is killed by the giant turtle encountered by Yonemori and the scientists. The remaining birds escape before the turtle reaches the stadium.
After translating the runes, Kusanagi explains to Yonemori and his daughter Asagi that the giant turtle is called Gamera and the birds are called Gauss. When Asagi touches one of the stone amulets, she inadvertently forms a spiritual bond with Gamera. Kusanagi also tries to convince the government that the Gauss are the real threat, but they remain focused on Gamera due to the destruction that he has caused. Now working together to investigate the creatures, Kusanagi, Yonemori, and Nagamine are attacked by a Gauss in the mountains, but Gamera arrives in time to save them. Meanwhile, Asagi discovers that she suffers the same wounds and fatigue as Gamera due to their shared bond. Now at Mount Fuji, she witnesses a military strike against Gamera. The attack attracts the final Gauss to the scene, where it grievously wounds Gamera and forces the turtle to retreat into the ocean. Simultaneously, Asagi suffers a similar wound and passes out from the pain.
After consulting with a biologist, Nagamine and Yonemori learn that the Gauss are genetically engineered and reproduce asexually. They speculate on the origins and purpose of Gauss and Gamera. Nagamine suggests that Gauss were awakened by rampant pollution, and Gamera was created by an ancient civilization to combat Gauss. They approach Kusanagi with this information, explaining that the incident at Mount Fuji shows that Asagi is spiritually linked with Gamera. Kusanagi dismisses these claims until he witnesses the amulet's power himself.
With Gamera recovering in the ocean, the last Gauss grows unchecked, becoming a super Gauss. The creature attacks Tokyo, causing many civilian casualties and prompting the government to focus on Gauss instead of Gamera. Attempts to kill Gauss end in failure, and it builds a nest in the ruins of the Tokyo Tower.
Upon awakening from her sleep, Asagi warns the others that Gamera has recovered and will attack Gauss. Gamera catches Gauss by surprise, destroying its nest and eggs. A massive air battle ensues, and Asagi, Kusanagi, Nagamine, and Yonemori follow closely in a helicopter. Initially, Gauss overpowers Gamera, but Asagi uses her spiritual energy to revive Gamera, who kills Gauss. Gamera, after using his bond with Asagi to heal her, releases Asagi from their bond and returns to the sea. While Nagamine and Yonemori predict the possibility that Gauss or other threats may arise, Asagi states that Gamera will return if that happens.
Ooh, the door is open for more Gauss.
And more Gamera, of course, which we will soon get. Or audiences soon got.
Is right, that right. There good. Are two direct sequels to this. I'm ashamed to say I haven't actually seen those ones yet, but man, do they look good. If Guardian of the Universe is any kind of bellwether for the rest of the series.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch the rest of them.
Yeah, what do you think of the story?
Honestly, the story itself maybe is not great. Like, there's a lot of predictable elements that we've seen in past kaiju movies before. The characters are usually, or like mostly scientists that are just trying to like stop what's going on. They're not really very deep or anything. The plot points are like kind of what you would expect. Like, we have the opening scene where like these ships in the ocean encounter something unexpected, and then, you know, these two monsters do battle. So like, yeah, the story itself is not especially original, but the way that it's told is really entertaining and really powerful, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good example of a simple story, but told very well.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And in a way, yeah, like, it's kind of refreshing to go back to basics, you know? I think, like you said before, that we've been talking about a lot of so bad it's good movies like Troll 2 and Plan 9 from Outer Space and Toxic Avenger and stuff. So to go back to like the classic kaiju formula was very, very satisfying, I thought.
Yeah, no frills. Just like hitting the beats and giving us what we want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is also like the element of like Atlantis, the ancient civilization of Atlantis, and
that's right.
Like they might have created both Gauss and Gamera, and then they both reawaken, like, you know, millennia later in modern Japan or mid-90s Japan. So that part of it is kind of interesting, unexpected.
That's true. Yeah. And it's clearly none of this was ever alluded to in the original Gamera series. So it's refreshing. I think it's neat to give us some sort of foundational mythology maybe between these two monsters. And a lot of positive things I've read about this movie is it does like firmly establish Gauss as Gamera's archenemy. Now they've been linked throughout time. They will continue to be linked, which is great because, you know, Godzilla has King Ghidorah, Batman has the Joker, Gamera has Gauss, and we love Gauss.
Yeah, Gauss is awesome. It's still like, it looks really pretty scary, like, and also maybe a little cheesy at the same time. But, you know, it's very bat-like, kind of like bat pterodactyl sort of vibes. Gauss is great. One of my favorite monsters for sure.
Yeah, in all of kaiju, like, Gauss rocks.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I couldn't help but think about some other kaiju movies from around the same time, like Godzilla versus Biollante and Godzilla versus King Ghidorah. And both of those movies have like really crazy storylines with like, you know, metaphysical like spirit beings floating into the sky and like time travel and all this stuff.
Yeah.
So I would have liked to see like a little bit more of that in this Gamera movie, but it does tell its story very well for sure.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. The Godzilla franchise at this time is going out of left field. And Gamera's like, no, we're just going to play it straight. We're going to do what we do best.
You have to kind of admire that. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Leading this production is the director Shusuke Kaneko. I found this interesting. Not only did he direct the follow-up sequels, Gamera 2 and 3, but another movie we have featured on the podcast, Godzilla, Mothra, King Ghidorah, Giant Monsters, All Out Attack.
Mm.
We were not fans of.
No, but many people are, right?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
I would say this movie far outshines GMK.
I would agree. Yes, for sure.
Leading those special effects, I'll start with the screenplay. So the screenplay for this movie is Kazunori Ito. I read somewhere he's highly regarded as an anime screenwriter in particular. known for the show Ghost in the Shell. I'm not an anime guy, but shout out to my brother who is. And I remember my brother reading and being obsessed with Ghost in the Shell in general. So, yeah, got some talent there. And the special effects, we know him and love him. Shinji Higuchi, who is now really known for his Shin Universe, his work on Shin Godzilla and Shin Ultraman.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Shin Godzilla. Really like Shin Ultraman a lot as well. There's a new movie in the Shin universe that's coming out soon, right? Or maybe already did in Japan?
Yeah, Shin Kamen Rider was released.
That's right.
Yeah.
Is that directed by him as well?
You know, I didn't see that. But let me double check.
I'm going to look it up as well.
No. It's written and directed by Hideaki Anno, who co-directed Shin Godzilla with Higuchi.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a fan of Anno as well, Hideaki Anno, but Shinji Higuchi, I feel like you can kind of see, like, in the special effects in Gamera Guardian of the Universe, maybe some of the similar style of special effects that will be used in both Shin Godzilla and Shin Ultraman. Maybe a little bit more in Shin Ultraman, because Shin Godzilla has, like, more CGI than I would like, personally. Yeah. And the, Gamera Guardian of the Universe is thankfully pretty low on CGI, so I was happy to see that.
Oh, totally. And it's just great. Like, this, so Gamera Guardian of the Universe was Higuchi's breakthrough, and you're just like, wow, what a statement. He was 29 years old when he was working on this film, and just, yeah, it looks good, but if you, and I would encourage you to explore some of the behind the scenes work, there's a reason it looks so good. Just the amount of care to detail he put into everything for this movie.
Yeah, for sure. And I read that was true of Shisuke Kaneko too, the director. There was another Japanese director who had made some other kaiju movies, and I wish I remembered who it was, but he was saying that he was talking to Shisuke Kaneko just about, like, the level of, like, care and precision that went into, like, the development of this movie. And he said basically what you just said, that, like, everybody involved with Gamera Guardian of the Universe, like, this was not, like, a cheap knockoff. This was, like, they put so much effort into this and, like, had a vision for it. And I think that's what I didn't like so much about Giant Monsters All Out Attack. Like, it kind of does seem like a cash grab that they, like, rushed into production. But this Gamera movie does not. Like, you could tell that they put a lot of care and effort and time into it.
Do you remember in GMK when it's, like, the final battle and the King Ghidorah costume is literally on wheels? You could see it rolling through the city.
I do vaguely remember that, yeah.
Higuchi would never allow that.
No. No, that's I mean, like, that's what I like about the good kaiju movies. Like, these, you know, these are artists who have, like, a particular vision that they, like, bring to fruition, you know? And yeah, GMK, maybe not so much, but it's impressive in this movie and many others for sure.
Yeah. Also of note, I mean, the score is by Kao Otani, and I think the cinematography is good. Junichi Tozawa. I don't have the language to speak to that, but I wanted to throw that credit in there as well.
I think this is a gorgeous movie. We'll talk about that more later, though.
Oh, yes. Great. Excellent. I knew you'd bring it. Yeah.
Cool. No, yeah. His work is really fantastic, for sure. I could talk about the cast a little bit if you'd like me to.
Great. Yeah.
Cool. So the cast of Gamera Guardian of the Universe, we have Tsuyoshi Ihara as Yoshinari Yonomori, the Coast Guard officer. We also have Shinobu Nakayama as Mayumi Nagamine, a gifted ornithologist. I wanted to look her up real quick. Yeah, so I think the reason I recognize her is from actually a Jet Li movie called Fist of Legend, which is fantastic. I love martial arts movies. She's very, very good in that. She's in some other kaiju movies as well, Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2.
That's right.
Probably being the best known one, but But yeah, she's great. And I knew like immediately, I was like, where do I know her from? I've seen her in some other movies. So, yep, she's in the film. We also have Ayako Fujitani as Asagi, the girl who grows spiritually connected to Gamera. And finally, Akira Onodera as Asagi's father.
Cool. The girl who plays Asagi, her father is Steven Seagal.
I read that. Surprising.
I'm like, oh, okay. There's some trivia for you.
Yeah. She gives a better performance in this movie than Steven Seagal ever did. I'm just going to throw that out there.
We could talk more about Siskel and Ebert's review of this film, which is on YouTube and it's a delight. I'll try to put it in the show notes. But they make a mention of that. Ebert does. And he's like, and he says something to the effect of, what's her name? I want to make sure I get her name right. Ayako Fujitani is in a script as lifeless as her father's choice in scripts, or something like
Wow. I mean, I would disagree with that. I think this script has a lot more life than most of Steven Seagal's movies, but that's my opinion.
Anything else on the cast and crew?
Not really at this point. I mean, I feel like I recognize some of the other cast members from some like older kaiju movies.
I can see that, maybe. Yeah.
I think, yeah. Sorry, I want to look something up real quick. Because I'm pretty sure the guy who plays the captain of the ship at the very beginning of the movie has he it's like a cameo, but he had been in like some other kaiju movies earlier in his career.
Well, we'll move on to production backstory and release. I will let you know. Maybe you found this similar. I had to dig a little bit to find some actual production history, but be that as it may, I found a really dope article from an issue of Cinema, nope, Cine Fantastique, the movie magazine from 1995, by an article by Steve Riefel, the noted kaiju critic and author. Anyways, he has a really cool review of Gamera, Guardian of the Universe, and I got a lot of my backstory from his article. So I'll try to put that in the show notes as well. So anyways, 1995, Gamera, Guardian of the Universe is released 15 years after the previous Gamera movie, which is called Gamera Super Monsters from 1980. Brief history of the Gamera franchise. By 1980, the series was like, to say kid-centric, kiddie fare is a generous label. Gamera Super Monsters is one of the cheapest, laziest films. It's just essentially 95% stock footage from the seven, I think, previous Gamera films, kind of cobbled together into a story. I am a true, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm a completionist, to for better or for worse. So I've seen that one, and I can see why it just killed the franchise. It's like, we're done. We have zero ideas left, zero money left. Please let it end.
And it had been kind of like going in that direction anyway, right? The franchise, like Daiei Studios, was kind of running out of money. Like the last couple Gamera movies didn't do all that well commercially. So I like it seemed like people were not totally surprised that like the 1980 film was kind of like the death knell for the franchise, at least for a while.
Oh yeah, put it in its grave, buried it 8 feet under. Done. But then Toho's making Godzilla movies again. In the 80s and the 90s, so Daiei Studios decides to bring back Gamera, and they make some really intentional choices around that. I can keep going, but if you wanted to read anything, you can do that too.
Yeah, sure. So when Daiei decided to kind of reboot Gamera, I think they were looking at a different franchise initially, right? And then they decided to do Gamera instead. I'm trying to remember what that was. Sorry.
No, I read that too. The Daimajin.
That's right. Yeah.
Series from the 60s, which I have not seen, actually. Still a gaping hole in my my checklist there. But it's, as far as I know, it concerns a giant ancient stone statue who fights kaiju.
Cool. We kind of see a giant stone statue in Gamera, Guardian of the Universe, too. So they still got it in there, you know? Very briefly, there's like that altar on like the atoll, and then it kind of like crumbles. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah. But this is like a humanoid statue.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. So not quite the same. Still, it's a stone thing. That's what I'm getting at.
Okay. Yeah. There are rocks in both movies.
Yeah. I will someday write a comparison of the rocks in these two franchises, and it's going to be amazing. just kidding. So yeah, Daye, you know, they kind of realized that Gamera was maybe a little bit more of like a profitable property, and that audiences would, you know, kind of flock to theaters to see it if they rebooted it. They did, however, want to move away from the more kid-centric reputation that you were just talking about, Vincent. So they passed over the original screenwriter, Nii-san Takahashi, and the original director, Noriaki Yuasa, in order to make it a little bit more adult, kind of menacing, exciting, fast-paced, and so on.
I think that was a good choice.
Indeed.
They hired 29-year-old Higuchi in 1993. Yeah, so production started in 93 on this film. It was released in 95. And here's a quote from Higuchi I just wanted to include. He said, Monster movies are supposed to bring to life the monsters you don't see in ordinary life, to make them appear in front of you all of a sudden. That's the philosophy of this movie. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I think it's also cool, like the screenwriting process for this film. So Ito, what's his name? Kazunori Ito was hired, and he was hired as the screenwriter. The script went through 6 different revisions. It sounds like the early versions were, you know, very graphic. They were like graphically violent. They would have required a very high budget. I thought it was kind of interesting that one of the earlier drafts of the screenplay included a scene where a female gauss eats her mate after copulating. And they cut that out of the version that they shot, obviously, which is a shame because I would love to see that scene. That sounds awesome.
I feel like this is like Higuchi has, and Ito is the screenwriter, obviously, and the director was his own artistic talent. But I feel like that tracks so hard for the Gamera series compared to Godzilla. Like Gamera versus Gauss, we talked about how violent it is, how graphic, how much blood there is compared to the Godzilla films at the time. So I love that they still had that same spirit of brutality.
Yeah, especially if, like, you know, Gamera is this like kid-friendly beast that's like a friend to all children and everything. And then you also get like spewing blood and like graphic violence and everything, you know? It's cool. I love that contradiction.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But they toned it down. I still think you could see a little bit of that still in the final product.
Yeah.
Though obviously not to the same extent.
Yeah, for sure. I did want to mention real quick, I found out the name of the actor that I was trying to look for, if I can interject that real quick. So it's Akira Kubo, who plays just like one of the ship captains at the beginning of the movie. And he was in Matango in 1963.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, Invasion of Astro Monster in 65, Son of Godzilla in 67, Destroy All Monsters in 68. So he was definitely a veteran of kaiju movies and has a brief cameo in Gamera, Guardian of the Universe.
Wow. Thank you for pulling that up. I love
it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It must have been from Son of Godzilla because I saw him and I was like, I know that guy from somewhere too. Mm. And I don't love Son of Godzilla, but it's still cool to like see these connections, you know?
Yeah, yeah. See, Son of Godzilla was coming out when Gamera versus Gauss was coming out. And which one do you kind of have maybe a better time watching?
Oh, Godzilla versus Gauss, for sure, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Oh, Gamera versus Gao, sorry.
Right. I say that, but I gave Son of Godzilla a full classic status last year when we reviewed that.
That's one of the few kaiju movies that I think we somewhat strongly disagree on. Which is great. I mean, I like it when that happens.
I may revise my review, but for now I'm gonna stick with it.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, maybe we'll revisit that someday.
Yeah. I found this very ironic that Daiei in the mid-90s did not have a robust production facility. So they actually rented a studio from Toho in which to shoot the movie. And Toho actually released the film, or they were the distributor. And they released it in a limited capacity in March of 1995. Steve Riefel says maybe to lessen competition with, you know, Godzilla. which the final Godzilla Heisei film was released in 95 as well. That was Godzilla versus Destoroyah. So I don't know. I find that really interesting.
Yeah. That seems to me like something that would not have happened in the 60s or 70s, right? Like those two studios had such an intense rivalry at one point, I think.
Yeah, Daiei was its, yeah. But by the 90s, it was just a shell of its former self.
Yeah. Consolidation, I guess that would be. Vertical integration. Not vertical integration. One of those corporate terms, you know? It's a win-win situation, I guess.
And Daiei these days is hardly anything. It's like it's a whisper of its former self. And I think that it's part of the reason why Gamera movies are so few and far between, since I think the last one was in 2006. But like with this recent resurgence in Godzilla movies and the whole kaiju genre, it's just like, oh, the time is now. Like, make a new Gamera movie.
Yeah. Do you know, like, I'm just curious who owns the rights to it now. If like Toho does, or if it's still Daiei, like you would think somebody would at least be able to like buy the rights to it, you know?
I think it's whoever bought Daiei or whatever Daiei turned into. So it's still not like a major production studio that owns the rights to it. So like, what do you do if you own the rights to something so popular, but you don't have the means to make a movie?
Oh man. Well, hopefully somebody can put that into motion at some point, you know? I mean, like, it's such a profitable franchise. It's kind of like floating out there like defunct right now.
I know. One day it'll happen. If there's money to be made, they'll find a way.
Yeah.
I keep telling myself. Okay. The film was also played at the Cannes Film Festival. I thought that was prestigious. I mean, and it is prestigious. But in my research of Cannes, I read that like thousands of movies are screened at the festival. So, you know.
Yeah. Including like some of the recent Mission Impossible movies, which I just think is kind of cool that like they're playing all these great art films and then like these, you know, just fun popcorn movies. It's kind of great. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Egalitarian.
Indeed.
The film Guardian of the Gamera Guardian of the Universe didn't see a US release until April 97. And even that was very limited. So hard to come by in the States. But if you can get your hands on a copy of the video or the Blu-ray, I'd recommend it.
I was interested to read that there's a very prestigious Japanese film magazine, which I think is called Japan Kembo, Japanese Kembo. I forget exactly what it's called.
Yeah.
But it kind of like, you know, is like favors art films and like generally more serious fare than kaiju movies. But it said that Gamera Guardian of the Universe was one of the 10 best movies of the year in 1995, which was the first time that they awarded such a claim onto a kaiju movie. Although they also said that Shin Godzilla in 2018 was one of the best movies of the year. So yeah, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. And listeners, help me out. I believe, however, that early Honda kaiju films were regularly in the top list of that magazine. So I don't know about the first kaiju film.
Okay.
But, you know, like obviously kaiju films after the 60s definitely went into a slow decline of quality.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And I want to amend what I said. Kinema Junpo is the name of the magazine that I was thinking of. Just wanted to get the name right.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking critically, Gamera Guardian of the Universe actually was nominated and won a bunch of awards in Japan. Best Supporting Actress, Shinobu Nakayama was nominated for that category in the Award of the Japanese Academy in 1996. And then the film won a bunch of awards at the 17th Yokohama Film Festival, including Best Screenplay, Director, Supporting Actress, and Technical Special Effects for Shinji Higuchi.
Pretty much all well-deserved. I don't know. I'm surprised by the acting award, but, you know, the actors aren't bad. The characters are just so thin in this movie. But yeah, mostly very well-deserved, I would say.
Yeah. Okay. Camp Kaiju is sponsored by Zach Linder and the Zach Pack, powered by Coldwell Banker Realty, your source for real estate, home rehab, fixing and flipping for investor clients and residential buyers. Reach out to the Zach Pack today for real estate services. Follow the Zach Pack on social media. Contact the Zach Pack for investment opportunities. Links in the bio. Themes of the movie.
Well, I think there's one main theme in this movie, so we probably are both thinking of the same thing. But yeah, you could. I don't mean to steal your thunder if you want to talk about the themes, or I can lead the way, whatever you prefer.
Oh, I don't know. Is your theme about stone statues?
Yeah, that's the theme that I read into every single movie. Yeah. The stone statue theme in Citizen Kane is brilliant. It's mind-blowing. And no, I'm just kidding. You know, it's basically like the environmental pollution theme.
Yeah.
Gamera Guardian of the Universe, which we've seen in some other kaiju movies before. You know, the movie makes it clear that like the rampant environmental pollution in the 90s is what awakens both Gamera and Gauss, and you know, kind of stretches back to like the ancient civilization of Atlantis. This is where the themes get a little bit muddled, but I think the movie is trying to say that like their technology was so advanced for the time, like, you know, whenever Atlantis was created, that like it kind of ran away from them, and then they like created Gamera to like control these Gauss monsters that were formed from the pollution or the sort of like negative impacts that they created. It's very muddled, doesn't make a lot of sense, but I think the movie is trying to say that like, just like happened with Atlantis a long time ago, modern society is creating these evils of pollution, and a little bit less in this movie, also like nuclear weaponry, that now is kind of like threatening humanity and must be controlled.
Yeah. Closely related, I found the push and pull really interesting between the ornithologists and company and versus the, there's an organization, there's a body of suits who are wishing to protect the Gauss because they are an endangered species. They must be protected despite the, obviously the dangers they pose to humanity. So I found, if that's a critique of those sorts of environmentalists who think along those lines or not, I just found it an interesting conflict in the film.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, as part of that, we also see like the government bureaucrats that are like stepping on the scientists' toes, that's kind of hard to say, and like preventing them from like doing, you know, what they need to do to like capture the monsters, basically. So I think we kind of also see like a critique of, you know, inept government and sort of like bureaucratic red tape, which we also see in Shin Godzilla and some other later kaiju movies.
I thought about that too. There's a brief line that subtly critiques the Japanese self-defense force as like being unable. Oh, bureaucratic gridlock, because they're calling in the JSDF. They want them to fight the monsters. And then some bureaucrat is like, oh, we have to get approval for this and that, and we have to go through the motions. And I was like, it's Shin Godzilla all over again.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a little bit more pointed in Shin Godzilla.
Yeah, and honestly, 100%.
Like, I don't know, some of the stuff in Gamera, Guardian of the Universe, where the military is like wants to protect Gauss and is attacking Gamera, even though most of the characters know that Gamera is the good guy and Gauss is the bad guy. It's like a little tiresome in this movie, and it's like, oh, we can just move past this, right? Like, let's get to the kaiju battle. But so yeah, I don't know, I'm happy there's that theme in the movie, but I just feel like it's kind of dragged out a little bit here as well.
You want to talk about the form and the aesthetic?
Yeah, this is a really gorgeous movie. I think it's beautifully shot by Junichi Tozawa. It's really colorful, bright. Like some of the lighting is really fantastic. The model sets look really good. The model sets are clearly fake, obviously, but they're just like so. There's like I've used the word tactility a lot, like to like compare like model sets to CGI, but it's like so beautiful in this movie. In particular, there's a shot of like the last Gauss monster sort of like perching on the Tokyo Tower. This is like shortly before the final showdown, before that last Gauss and Gamera. And like we see sort of like a sunset in the background, and the Gauss creature is like a silhouette. And it's like a shot so gorgeous should not be in like such a silly movie, you know? It's amazing.
I saw that picture and I immediately wanted to make it my Facebook cover photo, like adorn my computer screensaver with it. It was just so captivating.
Yeah, absolutely. That's my favorite shot, but there are a lot of others that are almost as beautiful, I think. Like there's one where Gamera is kind of being bombarded by a lot of like missiles from the Japanese military, and it's sort of like a very wide shot where like most of the screen is dark, but we just see these like sort of like lights kind of like hitting Gamera. That moment's really beautiful as well. I think some of the shots of like the helicopter in the sky with Gauss kind of like flying beyond it, with like a bright blue sky and like these like clouds in the distance. Just like it's such a gorgeous movie. It looks really great.
Well, when Gamera and Gauss are falling from space through the clouds, I'm like, how did you even shoot this? There's so many shots in this movie, and maybe I'm gonna sound like an ignoramus for saying it, but I don't know where the effects begin and the reality starts. Or you know what I mean? It's just so seamless. And that's the practical and the CGI is dated in certain areas, but even still, it's largely incredible CGI, if I may use that word.
Totally agree. This is like, it's what special effects should be, where like you can't tell what's CGI and what's Suitmation and what's like models and like matte backdrops and stuff like that. It's so well done and like really seamlessly combined. And yeah, again, just like really bright and beautiful and colorful. Looks great.
Oh yeah. Okay, I'll keep going, but actually a lot of this stuff is just gonna be in my good category, so it's all good.
Okay. It's all good.
All good.
Nice. Almost all good.
The yeah, so I'm happy to move on to our good, the bad, and the campy if you are.
Yeah, I think we can. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So great. In my good are just a lot of these same things. Gamera's first night his first attack on the city. It's nighttime and he's approaching the dome, the baseball stadium where the Gauss are. Just the composite shots and the way that is framed with the colors and the nighttime scene, just such eye candy. And the little Gauss, all the flying effects look so good and convincing. Oh, the camera angles. I think this can go into the form and the aesthetic too. Higuchi and Kaneko purposely decided to put the point of view of the camera at the human level to increase the illusion of size, which I think is very effective. And I got so many Jurassic Park vibes, and especially early on with the Gauss and the way they're stalking humans, and there's, you know, torrential rainstorms in the rainforest. And I'm not gonna knock it for that. I feel like every monster movie in the 90s, in some way, shape, or form, took a page from Jurassic Park. So that's fine.
Yeah, and it's I don't want to say it's as good as Jurassic Park, which might be one of the best monster movies ever made, but like You know, it's almost at that level, at least with its special effects, like we were just talking about. It's almost as seamlessly done as in Jurassic Park, which had like an immensely higher budget than Gamera did.
I agree. Yeah.
There's even the scene where like the female scientist is like sort of like digging through like bird shit, basically,
Yes, yes.
bird pellets, I'll say, which you know is also in Jurassic Park, so that's kind of cool to see.
Absolutely. See, so again, I'm not knocking them for it, but it's there and it's fun too, 'cause it's not like a parody of Jurassic Park. They're doing their own thing. And we just, because we like movies, we can see the parallels.
Yeah. I like what you said about like the compositions being from human level. I think there's a really good example of that early on when that scientist, I should look at her character name again, Nagamine. It's like when they're on the atoll and they first see one of the Gauss monsters, and like there's a low angle shot, and she sort of crouches down and we see the Gauss like fly above her. It's a really seamless shot, and I honestly have no idea how they did it, because they
Right.
like you know, it's the human actors, and then like a what must have been a puppet or like suitmation or whatever in the background, and it's so well done. It's fantastic.
And when they're in the helicopter and they look out the window and they're side by side with a Gauss, I don't know how they did that, because that's a practical effect.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's.
it's it must have been like a huge puppet suspended from, you know, at the same level as the helicopter set
Right.
or whatever. But
Yeah.
yeah, it must have taken just like so much care and precision to get that right. And it looks really good. Well, I'll just add on to that for my good category. There are like a number of like very suspenseful, exciting scenes. I think the part where they try to capture the Gauss monsters in the baseball stadium, which you were just talking about, is really well done. That's like a very exciting moment. And then there's another part where they're trying to like rescue a child as like one of the Gauss monsters is like swooping down to attack, and they have to like sort of like rush the kid across this like rickety wooden bridge. And that's like when we one of the first times that we see Gamera like attack one of the Gauss creatures. A really really cool moment, very exciting. And yeah, there are also some like really huge explosions in this movie where it's just like, you know, huge fireballs for like what seems like minutes on end, where they're just like getting it from every single angle possible. I, you know, as somebody who grew up loving action movies, I will never say no to an amazing explosion in a movie. It looks so cool.
Spoilers, but Gamera blows Gauss up with a huge fireball, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so satisfying.
Totally, yeah. And there's another moment pretty early on where like Gamera throws one of the Gauss creatures like into an oil refinery,
Yes.
and like or something like that. And like, you know, it seems like a bad idea if Gamera is trying to like protect humanity or whatever, but it looks really, really cool. It's great.
I had that moment in my campy list, because the little Gauss is flying at Gamera like a fly, honestly, and Gamera just swats his big hand and obliterates this Gauss creature.
It's so satisfying. Yeah. It's like when King Kong actually hits one of the airplanes at the end of the original King Kong, you know? It's the same level of satisfaction.
I want to watch it again.
Me too.
How about bad stuff?
Yeah, so I think, you know, like the plot again is kind of by the numbers a little bit. It's done extremely well, but at the same time, we kind of know what the characters are going to be. We know generally what the plot is going to be. And it doesn't really deviate from that all that much. So, at least in terms of the screenplay, there's not, well, I don't know. There are moments of like sort of originality and like, you know, personality, I guess you could say. But like just what happens is like sort of predictable. And I do think the movie could be slightly shorter. It's not really all that long. It's like an hour and a half. But like some of the stuff, again, I mentioned this earlier, but like the military, like, you know, trying to attack Gamera instead of Gauss, it's like, eh, we don't really need this. I think we can just kind of like move the story along a little bit, you know?
Sure. I was struggling to come up with some bad stuff. I think some of the editing, particularly on the bridge in the mountains that you mentioned before, it's that very 90s way of editing an action shot where I don't even know how to describe it, but the camera is moving really fast. It just looks like someone in post just like, I don't know, pressed the buttons. Like, we needed this to speed up to convey some quick cuts or something. That's a very 90s thing. You see it, you know it when you see it. Mm-hmm. But I'm nitpicking. I think, some of the CGI. But that's not even a fair assessment, because I think the CGI in this movie still looks better than 99% of the movies today that use CGI.
Yeah, I would agree. There was only one CGI shot that was like an underwater shot of it must have been like Gamera like moving in front of the camera or whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the only time that I thought it looked pretty fake and like probably could have been done better. Aside from that, like I was really happy to see that they tried to avoid CGI as much as possible. You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks. I got no notes.
Yeah, it's there's not much bad stuff to be found in this movie for sure.
Ooh, and considering where the franchise had been before this, it's a miracle. Like, it's incredible. It's a remarkable feat of achievement.
Would you say that like this movie kind of looks forward to Shin Godzilla a little bit, just in the sense that like it's like the textbook way to like reboot a franchise in like, a creative way?
Yeah, I think that you can make those connections between this and Shin Godzilla. Because like Shin Godzilla, Kaneko and Higuchi and Ito and Daiye, they wanted to treat this movie like what would happen if a kaiju appeared in the real world. So like the humans in this film have no prior knowledge of giant monsters. This is the first time it's happening, which is similar to Shin Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're, you know, both of those movies, I think, are like almost as good as you could make a kaiju movie nowadays.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah. But for some reason, like, I do give this 4 out of 5 stars on Letterboxd, not a full 5. And I wonder if it's because maybe while it's a simple story told really well, to your point, maybe it could have offered a little bit more surprising elements somewhere in there, just to like keep us on our toes and be like, whoa, that's truly something we've never seen before.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think like with Shin Godzilla, like the very like direct political commentary is very unexpected in that movie, and I don't think Gamera Guardian of the Universe really has something similar to that or like parallel to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think like just the insane camera angles in Shin Godzilla and like the quick editing and like the bizarre style of that movie is just like a little bit more creative and original than what we see in Gamera Guardian of the Universe, which is, you know, I think Gamera is like extremely well made, but not like really kind of like pushing against the form all that much, you know?
Yep, that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Campy?
I like all the wipe transitions in this movie.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Which is something, you know, like we see that in Star Wars and some other movies sometimes, but I love it. It totally fits the style of this movie for sure.
Yep. That's fun. I loved it when they went to space. It's like 30 seconds, but they fly into space and Gamera, and then they go plummeting back into Earth. And I was like, okay, this is now camp. We've like, I don't know, taken a realistic situation as far as you can make it, and we've just like pushed it that much further into the realm of ridiculousness.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's ridiculous, but also beautiful, you know?
Like, yeah. Oh yeah.
Campy, but really stylish at the same time, which is my ideal combination. It's perfect.
Yeah. And like for true camp, the movie takes itself, not only does it take itself seriously, but it succeeds in telling us in giving us a serious tone.
Yeah.
It doesn't take itself seriously like Troll 2 and fails. No, I laughed at very little at this movie.
Yeah. I did find there's like a police officer character who he's the one who first kind of like talks to Nagamine. Is that her name? I always forget her character name. I'm sorry. But there's a police officer that shows up and he's like, oh, we need you on this island. And like I like his character a lot. He's like a little cowardly. He's very over the top. He like always wants to like run away from every situation, you know? And he's clearly in love with Nagamine. It's a good dash of comic relief. I like his character a lot.
Yeah. All right, man. I think we've gotten to our final review.
We must give it a rating.
We must.
Should I read off the rankings as usual?
You should.
All right. So our highest rating is it is a timeless classic and definitely stands the test of time. Then we have there may be some antiquated moments, but overall it's great and stands the test of time. Number three, it may be historically significant or just fun, but it does not stand the test of time. And our lowest ranking, it's not worth revisiting and definitely does not stand the test of time. It's a tough one.
I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I am gonna just say it is a classic and it stands the test of time. I don't think our critiques, or at least my critiques, are strong enough to really like dissuade my decision there. I think I could show this to any newcomer to the genre. I'd be comfortable showing this to them and seeing. And just saying, hey, this is the best we have to offer as kaiju fans. I think you're going to enjoy this one. That's where I'm
Yeah,
at.
totally. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I think there are a couple others that I prefer. I think like the original Godzilla, just in terms of like influence and political commentary, sort of can't be matched. I think for me
Oh,
that
yeah.
probably will always be my favorite kaiju movie. Ghidorah the Three-Headed Monster might be up there as well. But yeah, I think I'm gonna have to agree with you. It's a timeless classic, definitely stands the test of time. I think if I could, maybe I would give it 4.5 instead of, or I should say 3.5 instead of 4, because it is kind of like in between those rankings for me. I think it could be like a little bit more innovative in some ways, but I just don't think you can do this sort of thing any better than this movie does it. It's so entertaining, very beautiful. Really loved it a lot.
Yeah, that's just it. Like, what more do we want?
Yeah, and I don't want to be the kind of person that's like, oh, but it should be more like revolutionary or like, no, it's doing what it wants to do perfectly, and that should be enough, you know?
Right. But, but we have Godzilla versus King Ghidorah if we want like truly batshit crazy kaiju
Yes.
movies.
Yeah, and that movie's awesome too. There are lots of different kinds of entertainment to be had from these movies.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoy this movie as much as we did. And thanks for hanging out with us for the past hour and some change. If you liked what you heard, please tell a friend, leave a rating and review, and visit CampKaijuMovieReviews.com or Instagram for more monster movie content. We can't thank you enough. Camp Kaiju is recorded in Minneapolis, St. Paul, with theme music by Terrence Jackson and Mina's Mailbox by Ben Cook Feltz. Camp Kaiju is sponsored by Zach Linder and the Zach Pack, powered by Coldwell Banker Realty, your source for real estate, home rehab, fixing and flipping for investor clients and residential buyers. Reach out to the Zach Pack today for real estate services, follow the Zach Pack on social media, and contact the Zach Pack for investment opportunities. Links in the bio.
Only a young woman, the daughter of a scientist, understands Gamera. They communicate by a magic stone. She holds it, it glows, and she can read Gamera's mind. She's played here by Ayako Fujitani, the daughter of movie star Steven Seagal, and just like her dad, she only appears in the most intelligent screenplays. Now, I'm not going to claim that Gamera, the Guardian of the Universe, is a good movie. The plot is funky, the dialogue is mechanical, the characters are inane, and I still don't understand why a giant turtle apparently has two jet engines embedded in its behind. But, and this is a big but, I enjoyed this movie precisely because of those qualities. It stirred up enormous nostalgia within me for the kind of good-hearted, goofy, preposterous tradition these Japanese monster movies come out of. I'm glad I saw it, I enjoyed it, and so I have to give it a thumbs up.
Well, I think that all of the criticisms you leveled against it are absolutely accurate.
Mm-hmm, thank you.
And so what I would do is get one of the good ones, get one of the Godzilla pictures, and rent that and put that on, mm-hmm. and then you could recommend that, because that will be more entertaining than this.
Well, the idea, I just rent Citizen Kane and not look at any of the movies we reviewed this year.
Well, that you can do that, and I think you and I both look at Citizen Kane regularly. But I'm just saying is that I think that you want to like this picture more than you know in your heart of hearts that it really contains entertainment value.
That's probably true.
Okay. And the other thing that I would say is I love the idea of a giant turtle, okay? I want to go see a giant atomic-powered turtle. And I want to see him in a good picture. I loved Q, a picture about that giant.
Yeah, that was a good picture.
Column. But that's the kind of fun picture you ought to be recommending. This doesn't quite make the category.
Okay, coming up next, a split decision on Gamera, the Guardian of the Universe. Gene thinks the story is dumb, the characters are thin, and the special effects are unconvincing. So do I. But I was nostalgic about this throwback to the Japanese monster movies of the past.